Okay, well, let's pray, shall we? And then we'll have a look at the chapter. Thank you, Father, Lord, for the history of your dealings with the people of Israel. Lord, your word tells us in the New Testament these things happen to them as examples. First of all, that we may copy their good examples, Lord, and avoid their bad ones, Lord. And we're here tonight, Lord, to ask for your help and discernment, Lord, to know the best way to respond in situations that come our way. Lord, thank you for your word. Bless it to our hearts. And grant us your grace, for we ask it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. So it's Judges chapter 12. It's the concluding part of the story of Jephthah. Dear Jephthah, remember the man that made a promise that he came to regret?
Yes.
Now then, this is a little time later, after the victory, we guess, right? So chapter 12. The men of Ephraim called out their forces, crossed over to Zaphon, and said to Jephthah, "Why did you go to fight the Ammonites without calling us to go with you? We're going to burn your house down over your head." Jephthah answered, "I and my people were engaged in a great struggle with the Ammonites, and although I called you, you didn't save me out of their hands. When I saw that you wouldn't help, I took my life in my hands and crossed over to fight the Ammonites, and the Lord gave me the victory over them. Now, why have you come up today to fight me?" Now, how about that? You've just had a great victory, and he gives credit to the Lord, doesn't he? God did it. How come the Ephraimites, they live on the east side, they live on the west side of the Jordan, and Jephthah had been fighting a battle on the east side against the Ammonites. Sometime after he'd won the victory, he's back home, then the Ephraimites decide to pick a fight with him. Yeah? And they come and say this, they crossed over, they got their forces together, so they marshalled a bit of an army, and they cross over to this place called Zaphon, and shouted Joshua at Jephthah, basically, "Why did you go to fight the Ammonites without calling us to go with you?" Yeah? Right, and his answer is, "Well, I did call you, but you didn't come." Right. Why are they getting so awkward and difficult?
As a nation, they always have been, in a sense, because they gave trouble to Gideon.
They were like that with Gideon, and Gideon was more appeasing with them, wasn't he? He sort of said, "Well, you did better than I did, really." Why are the Ephraimites so... the issue is pride, really. Pride and arrogance. They should be top dog. And what's the problem with... You're using that phrase, yeah? What's the problem with being top dog?
You've got standard or punishment.
Well, you take all the punishment.
The poles as well as the hot air.
Everyone's against you.
Well, not necessarily.
You get too big for your boots.
You get too big for your boots, and the problem is, if you're top dog and you're insecure, because they are, that's the problem. Yeah, they think they should be the most important people around the place. Yeah, when you feel like that, the danger is, just beware of this. Those who make the loudest noises are usually the most insecure ones, I suspect. Yeah, and the danger is that they can't cope with somebody else getting any glory. That's the issue often, isn't it, yeah? When somebody else gets the glory, they feel very jealous, put out, and feel robbed. That's the Ephraimites for you, then. And the sad part of it is, the Ephraimites are their brothers. Right, so the lesson we could apply today is, some Christians can be a bit touchy, can't they? Sensitive, they do, yes. Yeah. There's a bit in the New Testament where Paul's talking about two women, Euodia and Syntyche. Yeah? And he says, "I plead with these women to agree with each other in the Lord." Yeah? They'd fallen out. Don't know what it was about, yeah? But somebody mispronounced the name of the second lady. Yeah? "I plead with Euodia and Syntyche." Yeah, well, it was a pretty good description. The problem is, you know, there they are. How should we respond when the Lord blesses somebody else? Be glad. They're winning for you as well, remember? They're part of the same team, after all. The problem is we divide ourselves up into our tribes. This is tribal issues. That's the problem. Our tribe, we've got to look after our little guy, our group, you know, and if they do well, not good. That's the Ephraimites for you. Mm-hmm. Sad. But it happens in churches as well. Yeah. You know, there can be Ephraimites in the far corner, you know.
I'm in the far corner.
Yeah? Or whatever. Sad to say, it's a bad business. It's a bad business, right? So they come and threaten him. They get a bit stroppy, we'd say, yeah? There's another verse that turns up in Proverbs. It says, pride comes and a haughty spirit before destruction. Yes. So beware. Yeah. Right, so just remember, they're taking on Jephthah, who has proved himself pretty good in battle. Yeah? And after all, why didn't they come out to help him in the first place? This is another problem with the Ephraimites. Yeah? Why? He called them. He says so. He doesn't tell us in the account beforehand, right? But he must have called them because he says so. Why doesn't he mention it in the account beforehand? Because he didn't get any reply. So wasted time going on about that, yeah? But here, he kept it quiet. Yeah? But now, they're bringing the subject up. He says, I did call you, but you never replied. You never came. Why not?
They wouldn't accept Jephthah because
they wouldn't accept Jephthah. He wasn't one of theirs. He wasn't one of their team, so they won't have him as a leader. No, we're not going following Jephthah. You know, it's all nothing. That's one of the things. Yeah? Anything else why they wouldn't have? Why they wouldn't?
They won't get the glory, either.
Well, they wouldn't get the glory. The problem is also, it's a battle. Yeah. I mean, this is a serious battle. It's not just playing at games. Yeah. They might lose a few people, you know, and they might get hurt. Right? Let somebody else do the fighting and then we'll pick up the bits afterwards. Yeah? That's one of the things. But there's another thing that's rather sad. Yeah? They were living in the west and the battle is in the east. Yeah? How many Christians have done what the Levite and the other guy did with the Samaritan? It's not my problem. That's what they said, didn't they? Walk by on the other side. Remember? The parable of the Good Samaritan? Yeah? See this guy? Look at him. Not my problem. Yeah? So, walk by on the other side. They're saying as well. It's over there. Nothing to do with us. Right? Brothers and sisters, let me warn you. If your brothers and sisters are in trouble, you better pray for them and help them where you can, because it won't stop at their house. It might come round to yours. Yeah? So, not my problem, they probably thought as well. So, eventually, anyway, they come over, and he explains to them, he says, well, I did ask you, but you didn't come, and I took my life in my hands. It was that serious. And he says, the Lord gave me victory over them. So he's not boasting. He's actually giving credit to God for what God did. And actually, that's a warning to them. Really, he's saying is, you know, God did this, so don't you start meddling in it. Because if you do, when you start grabbing some of the glory, it might just turn back on you somehow. So he's giving God the glory, and it's a warning. Yeah. Yeah. Right. So, now why have you come up to fight to me? Why have you come up today to fight me? Well, they don't answer that one. They want to fight. That's what it is, yeah? So Jephthah then called together the men of Gilead and fought against Ephraim. So he called them together. He didn't have his army with him. This, as I say, it's after the battle. So he has to get all this lot together again. But interestingly, they're willing to come. Yeah, they back up in, back him up. So, and they fought against Ephraim. Right, how about that? And who wins? The Gileadites struck them down because the Ephraimites had said, you Gileadites are renegades from Ephraim and Manasseh. Now, that's what we call calling names. Yeah. Yeah. They're saying, you're the scum of the tribe, you know, you're just peasants, you lot. You're not a proper tribe or anything like that, you know. And so I suspect that rather stirred up the hearts and the spirits of the Gileadites to say, who do they think they are giving us some flag like that, right? So they probably made matters worse for themselves. Yeah. Name calling is not good. Right, so what happens is, they attack and the Gileadites defeat them. Right? And he says, then the Gileadites captured the fords of the Jordan leading to Ephraim. What did they do? They defeated them on the battlefield, and then, right, while the others are on the run, they head off towards the crossing point, the bridge across the Jordan, which is the bridge to get them home for the Ephraimites. Remember, they come from the west, and they're fighting in the east. To get back home, they've got to cross the Jordan. And there are only certain places in the Jordan that you get over safely. Yes? The bridge points. So they go and take the bridge points. They've cut off their escape route, basically. That's what they've done. Yeah. Right. So, the Gileadites captured the fords of the Jordan leading to Ephraim. And whenever a survivor of Ephraim said, "Let me cross over," the men of Gilead said to him, "Are you an Ephraimite?" So somebody turns up, you know, and they say to him, "Are you one of them Ephraimites?" And he says, "No, governor, not me. Don't know anything about this." Yeah. Right. So, how do you find out who's an Ephraimite and who isn't? Well, right, okay, so what do you do? Yes, here it comes. Says, if he replied no, they said, "All right, say Shibboleth." And if he said Sibboleth, because he could not pronounce the word correctly, they seized him and killed him at the fords of the Jordan. Right? This is pretty brutal, isn't it? Yeah? And what's the difference between Shibboleth and Sibboleth?
It's
just the pronunciation, yes? There's nothing significant in the name, really, I don't think. It can mean a ford or a stream, but he said, you know, basically... Right? What's the problem for the Ephraimites? Is their accent. They cannot pronounce sh. Yeah? That happens in languages. You know, are you aware of that? The Chinese have problems with L and R. That's why it's flied lice. Yeah? Flied lice. They can't say an R properly. Yeah? And there's nothing wrong with their speech. It's just that they've now learned not to distinguish between L and R. Yeah? And these Ephraimites have got an accent, so they can't tell... Does that happen in Spanish at all then?
Yeah, it does.
You can't say the
fa.
Look,
and they can't do it.
All right, there. All right, yeah, well, you've got the point. So if we want to find out who's Spanish or not, all we do is say, "Can you just say da-da-da-da-da-da?" And we've got you. Right, okay. You've got the idea. I mean, it may seem funny to us, but this was life and death, if you remember. And they can tell who the real ones are. And who the Ephraimites are, and who are just travellers, yeah? And so it says that because they couldn't pronounce the word correctly, they killed him at the fords of the Jordan. And 42,000 Ephraimites were killed at that time. That's a lot of Ephraimites. They weren't all killed at the Jordan. I suspect it's the sum total of what's happened in the battle. Yeah? So that's pretty decimated the tribe. Yeah? All because of their pride, of their arrogance, yeah? See, it's terrible. Pride comes before a fall. Not very good. Yeah. So that's the main part of the story. But there's one interesting little bit that follows on from the end. Jephthah was Jephthah led Israel for 6 years. Well, I'd like to say the definition of Israel at this particular verse is Jephthah is leading the eastern group. The western group are carrying on their own sweet way probably, but it's describing it as Israel. He led. He was a judge. Yes, it's the word's judged, isn't it, in some translations. Jephthah judged Israel. Yeah, it's the same word. He's a leader, yeah. Because he's not a judge in the sense of one that does the going around the circuits making decisions, but he's been leader, yeah. And he led for 6 years. Now, I don't know about you, does that sound very long?
It's good for them.
It's not really. It's good for him. He was a fighting man when he took this battle on, you know. So he wouldn't be a dodderer by then, would he? I'm sorry about the use of the word doddery there, John. Yes. Yeah. But he wasn't an old man. He only survived 6 years after these events. Can you guess why? Speculation, but I've got a guess.
He was a little bit better than the Prime Minister.
Did a bit better than the Prime Minister. Well, no, some of these lasted 40 years, you know. I mean, this is a long time of leading.
Could he have been injured?
It could be, that's a possibility. It doesn't say he was. Probably worn out. Yes. Well, let me offer you a little bit of psychology. That's my guess. And actually, I must say, I've got Matthew Henry on my side. He agrees with me. So I can't be wrong, can I? Right. It's this. What happened after the battle? He gave up his daughter. Yeah. I think he died of a broken heart. Yeah? the disappointment, the tragedy, the sadness of all that went on after the battle with losing his daughter effectively. Yeah, whatever happened to her, he's lost her, really. I think he grieved. And, you know, nothing was ever the same after that. Sad, really, isn't it? Yeah. But he's one of the heroes of the faith. God made it up to him, I'm sure, in the glory, yeah. But, you know, things can take their toll on this, can't they? You know, that's the point. Yeah, grief is a pretty debilitating thing.
Yeah. His name was mentioned in Hebrews, wasn't
he? He's mentioned in Hebrews as one of the heroes of the faith, yes. Yeah. Great man, yeah. So he did well. But I say, I think, you know, he probably did well as a judge as well. I'm not criticising his ministry as a leader. All I'm saying is that while he's doing that, behind the scenes, when he's on his own, I think the grief got him.
Yeah.
That's my guess. Yeah. 6 years doesn't seem very long, to my mind, anyway. Yeah. Anyway, Jephthah led Israel for 6 years. Then Jephthah the Gileadite died and was buried in the town in Gilead. So they buried him where the battle was the victory. Yeah, so his bones are there waiting the resurrection. Yeah. So that's the end of Jephthah, right? And we've come to the pretty closing part of the whole set of judges. We've got two more judges we're going to look at in a moment. And then we have quite an extended bit about the very last judge called Samson. Yeah, we'll look at him. Strange fellow, Samson, in many, many ways. Yeah. But we won't get to him this week. We'll just look at these two other guys. Three guys, my apologies. Three more judges, rulers we call them. After him. That's after who? After Jephthah. Right. So, in sequence of time. After him, Ibzan of Bethlehem led Israel. Right. Now, we don't know anything about Ibzan, but except that he came from Bethlehem.
Yeah,
now, the question, which Bethlehem did he come from?
North Bethlehem.
The North Bethlehem. Yes, possibly. More than likely. Because it's all doing with the Gileadite area and all of that. There are several Bethlehems. The Bethlehem where Jesus was born is known as Bethlehem in Judah. Yeah, Bethlehem in Judah. It's usually phrased as Bethlehem in Judah.
And it says probably Bethlehem in Western Zebulun.
Yeah, yeah. There were other Bethlehems around, yes. Well, yeah, there are lots of place names with the same name, aren't they? Mm-hmm. Yeah, you get quite a few in there. If you look in the maps and things, you'll find lots of the same names of different places, yeah? Mm-hmm. Well, Bethlehem was one. What does Bethlehem mean, by the way? Do you know?
City of God's bread.
House of bread. House of bread. Yeah. It may be where there was some farmland nearby or something like that, I don't know. Anyway, Ibzan came from there. Now then, listen to this. He had 30 sons and 30 daughters.
Wow.
Now, just think of that. Well, first of all, the sad contrast between poor old Jephthah, no sons, one daughter, lost. Yeah. And this guy, he's got daughters and sons by the yard, yeah? Mm-hmm. 30 sons and 30 daughters. What's odd about that?
He had a lot of wives.
That's number one thing that's weird, yes. Yeah.
Equal number of daughters and sons.
He's got an equal number of daughters and sons, yes? Now, the interesting thing, statistically, that is very unusual.
Yeah.
You'd expect a few more of one and a few less of the other. Yeah. That's the way statistics work. Overall, if he'd had 900 kids, you'd get nearer to the even numbers, yes? But at 30, that's difficult to get that, yeah? So, I'm just throwing it out. It's unusual, that's all I'm getting at, yeah? Right, so he had 30 sons and 30 daughters, right? Now, what's the problem with having 30 sons and 30 daughters?
They cost a lot.
They cost a lot? You've got to marry them off, the daughters, yes? Right, that's one of the things, yes? So, what does he do? He says, he gave his daughters away in marriage to those outside his clan. So, I suspect he spent most of his time as judge arranging marriages.
Yeah.
And for his sons, he brought in 30 young wives from outside his clan. Yeah? So, why is he doing that? Why is he getting wives from outside the clan for his sons?
Probably, there's so many inside, they're probably related somehow.
Yes.
That's
why it's in a way, it's a protection for inbreeding issues, isn't it? Yeah? So you marry outside the clan means that you're going to have more healthy children. That's what the idea is, I guess. Yeah. Right. Okay. Also, one of the things about marrying the daughters off to outside the clan Brings the clans together. Solomon did that. Yeah. It was political as well as genetic, we'd say. Yeah. So if you've got a relative who's in another tribe, you see, more likely they're on friendly terms.
Yeah.
Right. That's possibly the case. Yeah. So, yeah. So Ibzan led Israel for 7 years. Well, that's not very long.
No.
Yeah.
Well, after he's
probably exhausted. Yes. He's also probably getting old. By the time he's got 30 sons and daughters, all of manageable age, you're going to be a bit on the older side, aren't you? That's my guess on that one. Yeah. Remember, the oldest is 30. The youngest has just been born, I said. Well, no, not necessarily, because he's got many wives. He can have a whole batch in one go, couldn't he? Yes, yeah. Well, I don't know how the time scale works out, but there you go. Right, that's it then. So, he led Israel for 7 years. Yeah. Then Ibzan died and was buried in Bethlehem. So that's the end of him. He must have done some good.
Yeah,
he must have done some good. It was peaceful and all of that sort of thing. So, okay, right. After him, Elon the Zebulunite led Israel for 10 years. Then Elon died and was buried in Ajalon, in the land of Zebulun. Well, we know next to nothing about him at all. We don't know how many families he had or whatever. Yeah, just that he was around. Just a little bit. That's all he's got. Yeah. Well, let me offer you this important thing is, you don't need a very long section in the Lamb's Book of Life just to get your name is good enough. Right. Then lastly, we have after him. So it's all in this sequence now. We've got about 30 odd years of peace. Yeah, because of what Jephthah had done. He squashed the Ammonites. Yeah, he fixed that lot. So on their side of the water, things are going reasonably well. After him, Abdon, son of Hillel, came from Pirathon. He led Israel. He had 40 sons and 30 grandsons who rode on 70 donkeys.
What does that mean?
Why does that get in?
This is a random piece of information.
It's certainly strange, isn't it? Yeah. Well, it's in contrast to Jephthah again, isn't it? But somehow they seem to think you're more important the more family you've got.
Donkeys.
And donkeys. But the thing is, he's an old man. He's got to be, isn't he? Because he's not only got his... How many sons?
40
sons. He's got 30 grandsons. So that's the second generation after that. So, and he gives them time to grow up. He says, they all rode on 70 donkeys. So he got donkeys for all of them. So most of his time was spending getting them married off and finding donkeys.
Does that actually mean they never had any daughters? Or is it they're not mentioned?
No. I'm sure it's because they're not mentioned.
Probably wasn't.
Quite often the ladies get left out. I'm sorry about this, ladies. Such is the way. You're the important ones that keep the generations going, but... You don't get mentioned on the donkey rides, do you?
It's sad, isn't it? The donkeys get more of a mention.
Well, there you are. It's a funny old world.
Who bore the 40,000?
Yes, exactly.
You know?
Yeah. Well, there you are. Right, anyway, he had his grandsons hopping around the land. No doubt doing some good, I suppose. He's got to give him a job to do, so maybe they're helping Grandad do a job. He led Israel for 8 years. As I say, I think he was an old man. Lasts out 8 years. Then Abdon, son of Hillel, died and was buried at Pithon in Ephraim, in the hill country of the Amalekites. So he gets buried in a different place, yeah? He gets buried at Ephraim, right? Pithon of Ephraim, yeah? He came from there, and this place is in Ephraim. So he's moved from the west to work in the east. Right? Well, there you are, that's how it goes. So, that's all the judges. We're on to the last one when we get to the next man, Samson. And we'll have to save that till next time, if that's all right. Yes. It's a long story with Samson. There's a lot of issues. Sad old story in many ways. And we've not finished with judges then, because we have another section after the story of Samson, where it relates to some of the incidents that happened in the early days of the judges, and it's a real mess, terrible mess. It's seriously depressing, but I told you I'd entitled it The Good, the Bad and the Ugly. Well, we've seen most of the good ones now. It's all bad and ugly after this, unfortunately. So there we are. We'll have to leave it here. Some guys that did okay riding on their donkeys. What was the significance, just to ask them, what's the significance of them riding on donkeys?
They're all rich.
They're rich, yeah, well provided for, yes.
What horses? What horses that around at the time?
They were animals for war, warfare, really.
These are just on the Constantine.
So, when, for example, I mean, the symbolism is when Jesus rides into Jerusalem. He rides in on a donkey. It's an animal of peace. He's not coming as a fighter. He's coming as a saviour. Yeah, right. So the donkeys have their part to play as well.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. Well, we'll leave it at that. Yes. Some interesting people, eh? Well, and one of the things that just to say is that one of the strange things about the Book of Judges is time flies in one verse sometimes, isn't it? I mean, a whole man's life mentioned in one verse.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
A
bit like
ours. Yeah.
So rest in peace.
Right. Okay, let's pray. Yeah. Lord, we see time flying by, history playing out in front of our eyes, Lord. And these are real people with real hopes and fears, real sadnesses in Jephthah's life. You can see that, Lord. People who were getting proud and arrogant and boastful and making a complete mess of everything as a result of that. A tragedy, Lord. Here we're brothers and sisters, Lord, supposed to be living in harmony and yet, Lord, at war with each other. Father, we see that so easily happens in our lives, Lord, and our families and communities and churches. Oh, Jesus, forgive us, Lord. You didn't come to bring division, Lord, in the people that belong to you. Lord, you make a division between us and the world, but Lord, we're supposed to love one another. Lord, I pray you'll help us all to honour you. Thank you for the men and women who played their part in the life and history of Israel, seeking to serve you, Lord. Lord, I suppose those young men that were riding around on their donkeys, Lord, needed a home, Lord, to help them to be raised in a godly and wise fashion. So thank you for all the work that goes on in the background that doesn't get a mention in the books, Lord. Lord, and we're so often part of that. We're not out on the headlines. We're in the back room, Lord, doing the basics. And we pray we may be faithful to you. Lord, it doesn't matter what is in the record books. It's what counts with what you see and what you record, Lord, that really counts. So we say thank you, Lord, for them. Pray, Lord, for your mercies for us and help us to be wise in our dealings with each other. May we not be arrogant and proud, Lord, but rejoice when you bless others. Lord, bless so many, Lord, that we won't have a chance to keep up with it all. Let your name be praised. Send your spirit. Bring revival wherever you want to start, Lord. And glorify your name, we pray. In Jesus' name. Amen.